I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
WrestleMePete!
Oh, we're back for some New Year WrestleMania action.
2021 in your eye. In your left eye, in your right eye, in both your eyes.
Yes, Lisa Left Eye Lopez is in both of them.
She's still not back. How are you?
She's still not back.
Yeah,
did
didn't,
say.
Didn't she pass away?
She did. I wasn't expecting her to be back. It'd be a
good news story if she was, though, wouldn't it?
2021. It's got off to a bang, isn't it? Lisa Left Eye Lopez has come back.
Apologies if her family listening. Yep. Welcome to Wrestle Me.
Sorry, the left eyes.
The UK's biggest, best, and actually, I think the most popular wrestling podcast that is put out by anyone in the UK.
Right, okay.
I do believe that's true. We've never billed it as wrestling, we're under sport.
Right.
But a generic sport.
Just sport. So we're going toe-to-toe with rugby,
the
cricket, tennis,
the darts,
football, the darts. Why did you go to the baton?
Niche sports.
The pie face.
Yeah. We have actually, and I probably shouldn't do this on air, I should probably do this off air, right. but we have been asked by the guys from Cultaholic if we'd like to help them do a show.
Did we get asked to do that because just of the kindness of their hearts, or did you harangue them for using Wrestle Memes
they
or something?
They did do a 12 days of Watch Alongmas.
Right.
Which is, look, you know, no one is going to say that we own the right to talk Christmas. About matches or Christmas. Or,
yeah.
But there is a thing where it all comes together. And WrestleMemus is specifically a stupid title. It was the word WrestleMe with the word mass on the
end. I didn't realise it was using the mass. I just thought it was because what happened when we did a similar football ramble, the football ramble 12 days of Christmas sort of thing, Luke from the ramble got angry at some other football podcast.
Yeah.
That they were doing 12 shows over Christmas because of the 12 days of Christmas.
I don't have a problem with the 12
right,
days.
Okay.
I don't have a problem
he
with
had
the
a problem with
shows.
That. And I thought that was, I told him, Luke, I think we could probably put that one down to parallel thinking.
My problem was more literally the suffix mass, which is copyrighted.
You take the Japanese. Everything ends with mass over there.
Nanny mass. I mean, it was unfortunate. The guys at Cultaholic said it was just a mistake.
They're one of our few supporters, Mark.
I know, and they've always been very nice to us. And so they were like, well, you know, it was actually just, you know, it, I mean, you know, we're not geniuses. No one. I mean, let's say it's not a case where you'd go, that is something I'm definitely going to steal. But they sort of said, hey, well, why don't we all get together and we could come and, you know, you guys could come and do one of our shows. I would say, I mean, you know, it'd be weird for the bigger show to visit the smaller one. But hey, look, let's help them out. So I think we might do that next year. That'd be a
lovely.
Nice, not next year, this year.
Yes.
Do you know what I sometimes go, oh, of course we're recording in different years, like we did with WrestleMania.
Yes.
Where we have to go, hey, happy Christmas everyone, on like the 12th of December.
Yeah. And also we didn't really know when we were putting them out, which we right. should know what year we are in now.
Yeah. I like the way I'm such a pro, I'm still going, always throw forward to next year.
Coming after the break, 2022.
It's January the 9th.
Yeah.
I could not get this more wrong. Oh, hey, look, hey, wow. Happy New Year,
Whoa.
Everyone.
Hello.
You know, it's great that you have joined us. This will be our fourth year of WrestleMe. Isn't that exciting?
That is exciting. Are we going to get to our fifth? I hope so.
I think so. I did actually make a list of all of the shows that we could legitimately do between WrestleMania 33, where we are now, to the present day.
Yes.
And I think that'll keep us going for probably about a year. and I went through and I didn't take ones just going, oh, that'll pad it out. Mm. I thought, no, let's take really good shows and really sort of interesting bits and we'll pad it through. The problem for me about this era, and we talked about it before, is the WrestleMania's become very hard work because everyone in it is, the stories aren't so good anymore because they're all quite pro, they're athletes, they're taking it seriously. There is less madness about the whole thing.
And fewer murders. This has always been a true crime podcast.
I do have a thing of going, surely, out of the number of people who are in wrestling currently, like as a sample of a population, one of them must have killed about three people.
What do you mean, as in like everyone who's in wrestling now?
If you think it's like maybe 1,000 people in wrestling, all the different things.
Right, yeah.
At least one.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Murdered three people.
And 40% of them love COVID.
Oh, yeah. I think it's a lot higher than that. I think most of them have had COVID.
Right.
They've had to. That's because they're wrestling. I mean,
yeah, it's really hard to social distance.
It's very difficult to think of something you could do worse during the COVID era than wrestle someone.
Fucking the partner of wrestling, hardcore pornography,
or the worst thing you can do is the Royal Rumble, which is coming up in a few days' time. Yes. I mean, that really is.
That's a super spreader event.
Oh, that is a petri dish with ropes, man. Oh man.
Definitely.
How has Peter Donaldson been?
Good. Yeah. I'm just sort of I'm just having a nice time, just ordering a lot of microphones off Amazon.
Yeah. Oh, I got one. Apocalypse. Thank you.
Ordering a lot of microphones off Amazon so that post lockdown we can sort of set ourselves up so we can do things remotely. I don't like doing shows remotely, but we're going to have to at some point. We only ever did one, and your mic was coming through your laptop, and it sounded fine, in my opinion.
It did. I mean, the problem is my home Wi-Fi is so bad that I had to actually go into the office and sit in my studio to do that. So you could have been in my studio, and that would have been easy. But yeah, it's a living nightmare. Have you since we've been away, have you paid any attention to any wrestling at all? Has it been part of your life?
A big bearded man. Yes, I have. A big bearded man. He passed away, didn't he?
Brody Lee.
Brody Lee.
Guy called John Hoover.
And then I watch a lot of Brody Lee stuff. I'm trying to. I mean, what I should do is just go onto the WhatsApp group we've got, and I'm always firing stuff over.
I discovered
a brilliant video of who is getting interviewed now. Here we are. Big Dogs Assemble, Men of Honor. There you go. Yes, Scott Hall in the 80s has the most wonderful moustache and kind of like sort of 80s porn star look.
He did look like Tom Selleck. He did have that real look that obviously he'd cultured going, I could get chicks by looking more like Tom Selleck. I imagine Scott Hall, 6'4" and, you know, 280 pounds, living in Florida in the 80s, did not have a problem pulling women. But I think he was just like, do you know what? I think I'll just push it even
further. Look.
Have
the look.
The 2% that I'm not yet hitting, I can get that 2% with this tash.
And also, I can't help but think there is a massive cross-section of the capital insurgents that happened a little while ago. They are literally, they will have been massive wrestling fans.
I am honestly surprised that there has not yet been someone who's gone, well, that's the wrestler XYZ, you know. I find it almost unbelievable that everyone also, weirdly, from that storming thing, if they aren't the mad 60-year-old people, they all look like they could be indie wrestlers.
Yes,
they're all in good shape. That's the sort of funny thing. No one's sort of done this thing about it. Like, we have that idea about all Americans being overweight and fat and keyboard warriors and everything. These guys are all online all the time, going mad, reading 4chan and just going nuts. They keep in shape.
well, there's a lot of people who I think the ones that actually got into the Capitol building, it was a terrible situation.
Yeah, there are stairs.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But the ones that got the Capitol building, I mean, there's the guy, the crazy QAnon
The
Jamiroquai guy. He's in good shape and, not looking too shoddy. But then there's others who are also in shape, but they're in shape. Their face looks ravaged by bath salts. They look ravaged by ice, don't they?
Yeah.
Really? So there's a reason why I think some of them are skinny. Somebody hilariously photoshopped Virgil's little signing stand.
It was beautiful in the middle of the Capitol, the empty Capitol building. And there is Virgil. I mean, you know, if you think about it, Pete, he's the only person, had he been there, who would have been shot.
Yes, exactly. True. Exactly.
Little bit of politics. Oh, well, look, today we are... I was going to say, actually, I mean, it's worth me saying this point of the year for me, and I'm just going to cough to emphasise my point. Good. This point of the year for me is actually one where I really get burnt out on wrestling.
Oh, really?
It happens every single year. Mm. Two parts of the year where I watch too much, and then I just begin going, I can't take any more. And one is WrestleMania weekend.
Yes.
And that's because I love the independent shows that happen all around. You see the up-and-comers, you see the people you've not seen for years, and all those independent shows, I sort of watch those for 3 days before WrestleMania, you know, hits, and then I watch WrestleMania, and then the moment WrestleMania is on, I just sort of drain, and I just go, I don't think I can watch any more wrestling again. And I slightly get it in January as well because of Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
And so I get really excited in the build-up to Wrestle Kingdom, the New Japan big show, which is over two nights now. But I watched like Noah's end-of-year show, and they're also a Japanese organisation. I was like, I love this. And then I watched a bit of Stardom, who are a female wrestling promotion in Japan. And then I was watching some Raw, and I was going, oh, this is great. And by the time I got into match two of the first night of Wrestle Kingdom, I was like, I've hit the wall. It's just two men like doing something that isn't real, and it just hits you and you go, oh, I can't take anymore. And so really the last thing I needed was to then have to sit through WrestleMania 33.
Yeah.
I felt like I'd not only hit a wall, I felt like this was just like a wall being pushed on top of me.
We will say this again and again and again until we finish doing the WrestleManias, but 5 hours, 7 minutes, I think it was.
Oh, Pete, I watched the pre-show as well.
Exactly. And three matches weren't even in the pay-per-view.
No, it was 7 hours and 2 minutes long.
I mean, why?
You can see really as well, and this isn't just us going, oh, this is, so, you know, we had to watch it and there's a lot of work. You can see within this show that the crowd are entirely dead by the time you get to the last two matches. Mm. They have just been there much, much too long. Let's set it up. It's the 2nd of April, 2017. In Orlando, Florida. It was in the famed Citrus Bowl. They keep on talking about the Citrus Bowl. It had actually been renamed a year before, and it was now called the Camping World Stadium. But Vince McMahon, he told the commentators, do not refer to it by its actual name. It's awful.
Yeah, unless they pay for it.
We will call it the Citrus Bowl. I mean, that is the point. The Camping World Stadium, they have paid for it.
Yes.
And that's its name. And the reason they've done that is so that people on television go, we are in the Camping World Stadium.
Exactly.
You can't just go, well, I choose not to call it that, because you're sort of like, but that's why they've paid the money.
Yeah.
So the people who work at the Camping World Stadium must have been like, why are you calling it the Citrus Bowl? this is basically, there is going to be contractual paperwork that says you need to call it by its name.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's interesting, isn't it?
We don't call you the WWF so that the World Wildlife Fund then come in and start going, what the fuck's going on here?
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, it's a third party. And you're like, but it's on telly. You know, I've really felt for the people at the Camping World Stadium.
Yeah.
So I've been saying it a lot on this show. It is a fucking terrible name. When they first named the MEN, the Manchester Evening News Arena, after the local paper, again, it seems amazing that like a local paper
could afford to,
astonishing.
Yeah.
But when that when I first heard that name, I think it was the GMEX before, is that right? I might be wrong.
I don't know, Manchester.
The first time I heard that, I thought, that is the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard.
I think naming all of the venues in London the O2, like different O2 whatever, academies, O2 whatever, it's just like, O2 Shepherd's Bush Academy, it's just like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, the Kentish Town O2 Forum, which is the Kentish Town Forum.
Like, it's just the Kentish Town Forum.
That is also a mad thing to do, that you go, we're going to brand it, and I know there's probably, 50 venues, but we're all going to give them the same name. What are you doing?
Yeah, it's just confusing.
That's mad.
Hello, I'm from Poland. I want to watch my favourite band, the Bare Naked Ladies, at the O2.
Right.
We're not playing the O2. It's tennis on.
I need to go to O2. What I'm going to do, son, I'm not going to find out what bands are on where, but I will tell you the nearest O2 to here. Is that all right? I don't know. It's a really strange one.
Yeah.
They called this WrestleMania the ultimate thrill ride, and that was largely because they'd built a roller coaster
in
the set.
Oh, because I thought that, because was it the same time they launched that? Because I remember this one, because I remember, I think it's the first one I watched even half an hour of.
Yeah.
I stayed up late at night and I watched the first half an hour because there was going to be some crazy stuff happening. And I watched it and one of the first things I saw was that advert for the, is it a ride at like in fucking Disney World or something?
I don't think it is.
It's not Universal Studios or something. There's a ride because they keep on going to members of the crowd who have got their own rides.
Yeah, that's right. They talk to, what's his name? The talk show host who ruffled Donald Trump's hair.
Yes.
Jimmy, I'm always going to call him Jimmy Kimmel, and he's not.
Jimmy Fallon. Yeah.
He's done well, hasn't he?
He's done well in that, you know, past couple of days he's been kind of like clutching his pearls about Donald Trump.
He was
very much the enabler for a lot of that.
I actually mean, you know, even without Donald Trump. I mean, he's gone a long way on what he's got, hasn't he?
He's got he is the most unlikable, unfunny one, but he seems to be one of the most popular ones.
Yeah, and he turns up and he's got a ride at Universal, which is called something like A Journey Through New York City with Jimmy Fallon. And, you know, how the fuck does this cunt get a ride? I'm genuinely amazed.
I'd rather get the Naked Cowboy before him.
I don't think there is a WWE roller coaster.
Are you sure?
I think it's just they were like, you know, it's Florida and it's theme parks. Mm, and
okay.
And so,
I clearly watched that 3 years ago and went, oh, they've done a ride.
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? Because it's a lot of advertising for something that then doesn't exist. I think what it is as well, slightly, is you've got the idea of the Disneyfication of WWE.
Right.
And I don't mean that as in, you know, they're making it.
Disney would never buy
there
that.
There were big talks that Disney last year were going to be buying WWE because the Disney Plus was not performing that well.
Right.
And this was prior to things like The Mandalorian coming out.
Yeah.
But there was big talks that the Disney Plus were going to make a big bid for WWE and that Vince McMahon was at a point where he was saying, do you know what, for the right price, WWE is on sale for the first time.
Right.
I think he'd always said it's always been on sale for the right time, but of course, for the right price. But nobody has ever shown any interest in it.
Every man has his price. Not that price.
I think what they really want to get across is they go, we are part of the entertainment world. So you come to Florida, you go to your Disneyland, you go to your Universal Studios, and you catch a WWE show. Mm. And they had that thing of going, we are America's entertainment.
Yeah.
And that really, really comes across in it. There's some interesting sort of little milestones about this one. It just sort of gives you some indication of how long the WrestleMania has now been running. Randy Orton versus Bray Wyatt is the 350th WrestleMania match to take place.
Oh, nice.
And Alexa Bliss, when she comes out for her title defense, she is the 450th person to take part in WrestleMania.
Right, okay.
It's an amazing amount of people, isn't it? Shocking. Lovely little opener where you just have this citrus bowl, which is also where WrestleMania 24 happened,
right.
Which is the match where Shawn Michaels retired Ric Flair, was the sort of famous match on that card. They have a shot right at the start where it's, you know, still sun is out. It's not yet not yet dark. And they just show half of the stadium's in shade and the other half, it's so bright the cameras can't adjust to it properly.
Yeah.
It's just a big white sort of like, you know. And Jerry Lawler says one of the great lines. He goes, look, some of those people are still in the sun. He said, but don't worry, with the wind chill factor, it's only 102. And it's like, oh, Lawler actually did a good line. Amazing stuff. This was the seventh time as well that WrestleMania had returned to the same location,
right.
Having been held there for WrestleMania 24. Did you see any of the kickoff show?
No, I didn't. I must admit,
I don't blame you, Pete. I do not blame you.
Listening to watching 5 hours of this.
It's a two-hour show, the kickoff show, and also it's got quite a lot of. I mean, the matches are short within it, and it is just Booker T talking about. Well, you know, I think he's going to do really well, but the other guy could also do really well. I mean, it really is sort of quite basic. The funny thing about it is, I think that the opening match, which is Pac versus Austin Aries,
right.
For the Cruiserweight Championship, is the best match in the entire WrestleMania. It's a short one, but it's from a period where they did their sporadic thing where they would go, we are bringing back the Cruiserweight Championship because these young guys really go in the ring. And that always lasts for about 2 weeks before they just go, oh, can someone kill this? Can someone kill it dead? What you have here is you have Neville, who is a former NXT champion, who is a guy from Newcastle. He was billed originally as Adrian Neville, but Vince McMahon went through a thing where he decided people shouldn't have first names, that they were superstars. Like Antonio Cesaro becomes Cesaro.
Yeah.
Adrian Neville becomes Neville.
It's a bad name.
More recently, Matt Riddle has become Riddle.
Riddle?
Which is...
It's like piss. Yeah. Is that a riddle?
I mentioned a while back, we were talking about like names the Americans don't have. One of them is Adrian. They don't have that. And I was thinking, I did this with Kevin. And we did a thing, it was a few episodes back, and I said, no Americans are called Kevin,
yeah,
with the exception of Kevin Hart. And then within 5 minutes, as a lot of people pointed out, we had discussions about both Kevin Nash and Kevin Spacey, but didn't reference it.
No.
Now, Adrian, I was thinking, yeah, that's another name that is like one of those names that Americans don't have.
Mm.
But then I thought, oh, but then like you've got Rocky, Adrian.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that's Adrian, wasn't it?
Not Hadrian.
No. Was it not Hadrian?
No,
it was Hadrian.
No, his Bird, because I didn't know whether or not they were married or a boyfriend or girlfriend.
Yeah.
And I thought, do you know what's easier? What's safest there?
Yeah.
Is to use a outdated sexist term. His Bird. No, it was Adrian. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay.
A lady's name.
A lady's
name. Like okay. Of course, in America, ladies sometimes called Ian. Pac is was the name that he used throughout most of his career before WWE and NXT. He's from Newcastle, and he does have a look of a sort of modern reboot of Spender stroke Jimmy Nail.
It's, right.
I know it's an easy comparison to go, Newcastle, Spender, Jimmy Nail.
Mm.
He does genuinely look a bit like Jimmy Nail.
Oh, he's very big at the top and very thin in the middle.
Yeah, he is a remarkable performer as well. He really, really is astonishing to watch in the ring.
Oh, I've seen this guy before. He does look like, there was two blocks out of Soldier, and the bigger guy who's in Game of Thrones now.
Yes, they do have similar looks.
Like,
you can also see that Neville would fit very, very well in Game of Thrones.
Mm.
He's got that sort of long, straggly hair, the beard. He's got a very sort of intense, brooding look. He just moves like nothing else. That nickname, the man that gravity forgot, it really does apply to him when you see him. He is just remarkable. The ability is just unparalleled with anyone else, I think, on this show.
Mm.
The person who he goes up against in this is Austin Aries, who is also... He's one of those wrestlers I have a hard time with, because he is a brilliant talent. He is so quick and swift and crisp in the ring.
Mm.
I enjoy watching everything he does, but he is absolutely 100% in real life a complete twat. This is the interesting thing as we get into the modern era, where we get these new things that are problematic with wrestlers.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Austin Aries was really the first wrestler who turned out to be an anti-vaxxer, who turned out to be a sort of right-wing Trump supporter.
Mm.
He is full of conspiracy theories, all the QAnon stuff. He will sort of put up. When people are like, you know, mate, do you come on? You know, he'll just be like, you absolute sheep. You know, keep living in blindness.
He's hashtag escaping the matrix today. Perfect timing for a new view.
I mean, look, this is a tweet from him in July. He said, I hope we're paying attention to what's really happening right now. The child trafficking, pedo rings, and the very dark part of our upper society potentially being exposed. Red, blue, royalty, media, celebs, priests, all tied to it. Yet we keep the masses focus on COVID and masks. I mean,
can't get half the population to be interested in your fucking sport.
he joins a list of people who like TJP, Drake Wirtz, who is a WWF referee, and Bobby Fish, who have all been quite supportive of QAnon-related causes.
Mm.
Always worth mentioning those people and their beliefs, because if they do believe them, they can fucking well stand up to the scrutiny that they deserve.
This week on Stakhanov.
Throughout January, Clash of the Titles are letting you pick the films being battled out on air. Already binged your way through Netflix during lockdown? Listeners Alex, Vicky and Chris rediscover and tear apart old and new favourites alike, week in, week out.
I like here, though, that Michael Bay starts as he means to go on. I made a list of sort of Bayisms from this sequence. Low angles, lens flare, dry ice, washed out colours, military hardware, men marching, orchestral score, guitar riffs.
Or if you're looking for some much-needed escapism... Why not catch up with the Abroad in Japan podcast? Chris was recently joined by Joey the Anime Man to discuss mastering conversational Japanese.
That's a really interesting topic, bat channeling, which is where you kind of go,
In Japanese, if you don't do the every now and then people just think you're not listening or you're ignoring them.
All that and a whole lot more at Stakhanov.
The stadium, within minutes of this match, are chanting for Austin Aries,
right,
which is often the end game if you're a bit of a right winger. You like to hear stadiums chant. They do have an amazing, amazing match. They both look very small because the stadium is so big, and they really do look like ants at points.
Yeah.
You know, where they just seem tiny. It does lose a lot when you see the stadium in the light. Because it just looks a bit absurd. I don't know quite what it is. It's
You've
like,
never liked outside-y kind of daytime.
No, I like it when it gets to the golden hour. That is special. And then when it gets dark, it's great. But there is something about the if you think about how wrestling works, wrestling is always in dark halls.
Yeah.
You know, it's always that thing where your attention is taken to the ring by the spotlights. Mm. They funnel you in there and you're part of this amorphous, anonymous mass of people watching it.
Yeah.
When you are outside, it is just like you're in a car park and over there are two lads having a tussle.
Bray Wyatt in the daytime, I'd very much like to see how they would modify his little
You can thing. Actually see, because it's so bright, you can actually see that Austin Aries' trunks, which look like sort of, you know, they're silvery and reflective. And in the brightness, you can really see, oh, that's that cheap material like you get on, like, novelty purses. It's a really sort of, you suddenly go, gosh, oh yeah, it's rough actually, it's not smooth. They always look like sort of like serpent skin. And actually you can see there, you just go, oh, it's quite rough and abrasive. It's cheap.
Why do men never check their testicles? Because women, whenever they do moves in wrestling, they're always checking that they haven't fallen out.
Yeah, true.
Post body slam or something, they're always kind of checking. Blokes never worry that their testicles popped
out. No, but I'd say that's true of life, isn't it, really?
Yeah, well, yeah, what do you mean? As in, like...
I think a lady is very, very, you know, conscious of exposing herself.
Right.
Because I think, you know, there's titillation.
Yeah.
If a bloke's knob falls out, you're just like, yeah, my knob's out!
Knob's different to ball. I think a ball would be more upsetting for people.
I think a knob is less humiliating, because if your knob is out, you're like, my knob's out. But if your ball is out, you're like, I did not mean for that to happen. they have a really, really good match, Aries and Packets. Mm. So fast, it's so quick. There's a snap suplex that, I keep calling him Pack, but there's a snap suplex that Neville does on Aries, where Aries just lands right on the top of his head. And when they cut back to Jerry Lawler after the match is over, he just sort of goes, that looked so bad. And he's laughing at it, sort of just going, why do they go out there and wrestle like this? Why do they do all of this shit and they're still in the opening fucking match? You know, you can see him just going, oh, these guys, these modern guys, they do not know how to work.
No. They care about their job. Idiots.
Jerry Lawler did make a career of just walking up to small men, and he would do three punches, and then at one point he'd pull down his sort of leotard and the place would go nuts. So when he sees people like jumping off the top rope and landing on their heads and, like, you know, going flat out, he must just think, how have they got it so wrong? I used to do a little punch. That was it. And I used to sell out everywhere.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
They do interrupt the match, the very, very first match. They interrupt it with an advert for WrestleMania to really make it clear that the pre-match is not WrestleMania. Yes. They're really, really keen on that. And then they have a little advert for Tough Talkers figures, which are action figures that speak.
Yeah.
And they've never, ever been popular.
Right.
They've never
Underground pedo network.
Take a blue pill. It's again, worth watching that little ad because it just sort of shows you why it doesn't work, where they're just like, now you're a superstar, talk back to you. And they'll have a kid turning it and it'll be a Kevin Owens one. And they'll sort of go, what do you think, Kevin Owens? And he turns it and then Kevin Owens goes, I am going to take you to the very limit. Like that's right, that's limiting gameplay. Oh, man. Neville actually wins this match. He does his red arrow finisher. The only hint, really, that he's British. He was one of those performers, maybe the first in NXT and WWE, who was good enough that they didn't feel the need to constantly reference the fact he was British.
Jimmy British, yeah.
They just let him do it. But that finishing move, the red arrow, the other thing about that is, yes, it's a British name, but it's quite, I think, an obscure British reference.
Yeah,
I don't think the Americans would be like, you know, hey, you know what we need? We need a guy with a finishing move called the Red Arrow after the wonderful formation flight team. You know?
British Telecom.
Yeah. Well, his move is called Busby after the BT mascot of the 80s.
What was the BT mascot of the 80s? Busby?
Busby.
No, I don't.
Busby was like a yellow bird that hung around on telephone wires and encouraged you to make phone calls.
It was pre Maureen Lipman.
Yes, pre Maureen Lipman.
Good talk.
But very popular. I had rubbers, you know, at school in my pencil case of Busby.
Oh, they interesting.
They were very big. And it wasn't like they were, like, promotional. Mm. You would go to a shop and buy Busby merchandise because Busby was
just
huge.
Broke out, yeah. It was the
breakout star.
It was the compare the meerkat.
Exactly
thing,
that. Right, okay. But Busby, I have a feeling you could even get, like, Busby books.
Right.
Where it was, like, Busby's Adventures.
Right.
They were basic. Very basic.
Yeah, very limited adventures.
You suddenly realise back in the 80s, there wasn't a great deal for kids to do.
No.
And the fact that BT's corporate mascot, which was a bird with no real backstory
or charisma.
Yeah. Basically had like books and stationery. It was like, oh, kids can't get enough of this corporate mascot. Really, really weird. The second match on the pre-show is the Andre the Giant Battle Royale. Mm. So out they all come. This is one of those awful things where when you have something like the Andre the Giant Memorial, for it to slip down the card so it's always on the pre-show, I mean, it really does have that sense of... Exactly. It's not really paying tribute to someone.
Yeah.
You know, it's... It makes me feel a bit weird.
We would have, like... I mean, you could just put that in the main show, replace one of your underwhelming, you know, Triple H matches you have every
year.
And you would get to see more wrestlers. There's more chance of someone getting something that they like because they've seen someone they haven't seen.
Someone getting over. The funny thing about this as well, about this whole WrestleMania, is certainly the last half of it, which let's not forget is 3 hours.
Yeah.
The last half of it is all made up of matches almost identical length, identical sort of layout and identical wrestling style. Mm. What you need in WrestleMania is you go, let's have a couple of short matches. Let's have a battle royal. And that's why it really, really works to put this in the main card. This match is actually really good fun.
Right.
And it's fun for a couple of reasons. One of the ones is they have the Big Show comes out and Braun Strowman. And Braun Strowman was being pushed as a monster here.
Yeah.
Member of the Wyatt family, a huge, huge, great big guy that Vince McMahon had seen. And he was very, very green. But Vince McMahon was like, he is the future star. Mm. Nobody could see it until suddenly Braun Strowman clicked. And, you know, again, Vince McMahon, I know that he is the man who decides who gets to do what. But he does have an unerring ability to go, this is a future main eventer. Mm. At a point when you see him on TV each week, you just go, oh, well, he's lost his fucking mind. And you think that a lot of the time. And I know he's pushing them and it's up to him how to get them over. Mm. But these guys do suddenly connect and click.
Yeah.
And Braun Strowman at this point is a sort of cult favourite because people are going, he's really big and we know that everyone thinks he's going to be really, really popular.
Yeah.
What's good about this battle royal is the two biggest guys, Braun Strowman and Big Show, are eliminated really early on.
Mm.
And that means you go, oh, I don't know who's going to win. Again, a really important part of a WrestleMania is uncertainty about who's going to win. And I did feel that this WrestleMania, there is not enough uncertainty as to who the winners are going to be.
Yeah.
And that really does make for a sort of flat event.
Over Christmas, I watched the film. Thank you very much for buying me money, Plane, by the way.
You're welcome.
For my Christmas present.
I won it in a casino. off a criminal.
I keep on threatening to watch it. I will watch it as soon as I possibly can. We should review it for the Patreon. But I watched Get Smart.
Oh, you. Yeah, early rock
Steve
film.
Steve Carell. Yeah, early rock film. But the one of the baddie's henchmen is the great Carly.
Is it?
And Anne Hathaway kisses the great Carly on the lips. What a weird thing have in my mind.
Does he accidentally kill her?
No, he doesn't drop her on her.
Oh, well, he's getting better.
He's getting better, yeah. It just made me laugh. I was like, oh.
That's if I'd have met great Carly and I'd sort of gone, oh, he's here he is, great Carly, I know all about him. And he went, let me tell you, once I got off with Anne Hathaway, I'd go, why are you lying? Why are you lying? What an amazing fact.
Yeah.
Man. He is not in this WrestleMania.
No.
But again, you know, had he been, he would have been kicked out of this Battle Royal. It was booked really, really sort of well. What is interesting, Big Show was actually due to face Shaquille O'Neal at this WrestleMania.
Yes.
So last year at the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, they'd had a face-off in the ring, the two of them. And the idea was that they would have a match. It didn't take place. According to Shaquille O'Neal, he said it didn't take place because they kept playing. First they said it was me and Big Show. Then they said it was going to be 3-3. And then they cancelled it. So when they cancelled it, I made other arrangements. And then they tried to call back and tried to get it done. I just said, I'm not going to do it. You've messed it up. So that was a shame. Big Show obviously ends up in the Battle Royal. And at ringside, you've got the New England Patriot and Super Bowl winner, Rob Gronkowski.
The Gronk.
The Gronk. Mm. He is sitting there. Will he take any further part in this match, you can say? You have a lot of sort of first-time WrestleMania things here. Within 10 seconds, people like Kalisto and Simon Gotch and Heath Slater have been eliminated. Mm. I just feel like, if you're going to bring people to WrestleMania, you might as well say, do you know what? Let's do a minute of Battle Royal before anyone goes out. And let's feel like we've earned a spot on the card and also our payoff.
Yeah.
You know, but they just, one of them, who I think is Kalisto, no, maybe it's the Matador, one of the Lost Matadors. They are out, I would say, a second and a half after the bell rings.
Yeah.
That is not a day's, that is, you are not working. That is madness. They Goldust in here as well. Goldust's 11th straight loss at WrestleMania by not winning the Battle Royal. There's a guy in here as well called Tian Bing.
Tian Bing?
Tian Bing.
Right.
He is the first Chinese superstar ever signed to WWE. He came from Antonio Inoki's In Japan promotion, which even in Japan was not a big promotion. I have never, ever heard of him before.
Right.
I've never heard of him since, and I didn't know he was in this WrestleMania. I watched it and I thought, have they it gone back and inserted him digitally in an attempt to sort of give this a Chinese angle for the network.
Yeah.
He actually eliminates Fandango and Tyler Breeze. They say again and again, the first Chinese superstar in WWE. He has to know by now why he's there. It's not because Tian Bing, there's not going to be Tian Bing mania. They are just very much like, we have got a Chinese person. Mm. Can we now please have a big deal in China?
Well, he's from Anhui, and he is billed, coming from Shanghai, Kosia. Because he is.
He is, I would say, he is the least remembered performer in WrestleMania history.
Do you think? Because, I mean, like, he's got the, you know, there's pictures of him shaking hands in a ring with Triple H, with, you know, WWF and with Chinese writing behind it.
He was nothing more than a signee because of the place where he was born, because he represented the possibility of breaking a market. That's all it was.
They released him from his contract 2 years
year
later.
He has never, ever done anything else. He's never done any more wrestling.
Yeah.
He was, I think he's about 6'3". Yeah. Which again, sort of, you know, he looks the part, but I would say there is no one in WrestleMania history, and let's remember, Alexa Bliss is like the 450th person to be in a WrestleMania. Out of all of them, Tian Bing is the single most obscure WrestleMania star. He would be a trivia question. If you said, what's the biggest achievement in the wrestling career of Chinese wrestler Tian Bing?
Yeah.
If you'd have said he is the first and, I believe, only Chinese person to be on WrestleMania,
yeah,
people would still go, yeah, but he wasn't on a WrestleMania. Yes, he was. He was in the Battle Royale. No, he wasn't. He eliminated Tyler Breeze and Fandango. You are talking shit. Have you been paid by the state? Possibly. You get some NXT people in here as well who aren't really sort of... they're huge in NXT and in that room. And again, in front of the big wrestling crowd, a lot of them don't seem to sort of be known. Mm. American Alpha, the tag team, are there. And Killian Dane, who is the Belfast Bruiser. Mm. He has a good... I think he gets to the last three or four. Also, you do have Luke Harper in here, who is Brody Lee, who we just mentioned very, very briefly. Mm. He died on Boxing Day 2020 of a lung complaint. Mm. It's a horrible tragedy. And you could see that this is really the first person from this generation of wrestling stars who has passed away.
Mm.
And the outpouring of sort of respect and love for him was just, I mean, almost without parallel in wrestling history. To have someone who had been active up to October, very much in the AEW title picture, who had passed away, and it affected not just the locker room in AEW, but also the locker room in WWE.
Mm.
Pretty much everyone there had worked with him and knew him and liked
him.
So, I mean, a real horrible, horrible tragedy.
A great performer also, it seems to be like a really, really nice block as well.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that everyone says.
Yeah, isn't it? There is a bizarre moment, and I think, you know, it's obviously one of those things that you know, with hindsight, you look back on, you go, oh. But JBL does mention here, he just sort of says, Luke Harper, he said, this guy is going to go on to have a lot of WrestleManias so long as he stays healthy.
Mm.
And it's just really odd that out of everybody in this entire WrestleMania, the only person where they mention their health and the career that they could have happens to be, you know, John Huber, Brody Lee, Luke Harper. It was an interesting thing I had a look at Reddit where someone at the time had gone, if we rebook WrestleMania 33, what would be the best, layout that it could possibly have been.
Mm.
And the sort of most upvoted one, and this was prior to Luke Harper, Brody Lee's death, was saying that the main event should have been a triple threat between Bray Wyatt, Brody Lee, and Randy Orton.
Mm.
Bray Wyatt was on an absolute crest of a wave at this WrestleMania. His match absolutely cut the legs out from underneath him.
Right.
And it's funny that, you know, Luke Harper is stuck in this opening match where actually he could have been utilized much, much higher up the card. That became a recurring part of his WWE career, that he was always bigger than the level he was pushed at.
Mm.
And you can really see it in this WrestleMania, that he is an anonymous man in this battle royal in the pre-show when I think, you know, a lot of people who were watching at the time were like, he should have been so much further up the card.
Mm.
Mojo Rawley is also there. He is basically a hyperactive rhino with face paint. He does a tackle on Dolph Ziggler, which is supposed to knock Ziggler over the top rope, and it doesn't. So he just has to sort of chuck him out. He's a very reckless performer, Mojo Rawley. He's a bit frightening. It comes down to Mojo Rawley, Jinder Mahal, and Killian Dane. And you have Gronk cheering on his boy. In real life, Mojo Rawley and Gronk are best friends.
Right.
And Jinder Mahal comes out, he takes a cup off Gronk, he drinks a bit of it, and you know what's going to happen. He's going to throw, obviously, the rest of it in Gronk's face.
Mm.
Well, he does do that. But before he does that, when he takes a drink, right, you go, is he going to spit it? And instead, he just lets it all dribble out of his own mouth. And I was sort of going, that's a bit of a weird thing to do.
It's like he didn't like the taste of it.
What am I going to do? Like that. And it's like, am I supposed to sort of go, oh, this guy's unhinged? Or you just sort of go, lazy drinker.
Lazy drinker.
Big lazy drinker. What is the funniest part in this match is that having thrown the cup at his chest, Jinder Mahal goes back in. And of course, you know, the idea... Gronk comes over the security barrier, but someone doesn't know that. And that is the female security guard who is at ringside. And when he jumps over the top, she absolutely grabs him and starts holding him back. He knows he's got to get in the ring.
Yeah.
But he's also thinking,
I can't hurt this woman.
Do you know what? If you deal with wrestling as well, I think you always go, am I being double-crossed? Am I being double-crossed? And so he doesn't know what to do. And she starts really like, I am going to hold this guy back
Did they not brief these
No one had briefed that woman. The referee have to run over and they have to start saying, no, it's part of the thing. She
the mic's alive, everyone.
Credit to her. She holds him back. She is a small woman, and she gets a New England Patriots Super Bowl winner and manages to just fucking close him down. It's brilliant. He then finally gets in, but you can see he's a little bit rattled by the whole thing.
He's like, no, what's next?
That was unexpected. And there are a lot of people watching this. And I know he's a football player. He's used to big crowds. But there is that thing about going, I'm doing something new for the first time. Here I am. And it's already gone a bit weird and a bit wrong. He gets into the ring. He tackles Jinder Mahal. He Mojo Rawley and they are horrible bros. They are... Gronk had a very, very brief WWE career where they gave him the Hardcore Championship after he presented WrestleMania.
Yes.
And they signed him to a contract. And he is, as Tian Bing is the most obscure person ever to be featured on a WrestleMania, Gronk is the single worst person the WWE have ever signed. They gave him loads of money. He was useless. He didn't really do anything. And every time he was on television, I wanted to punch my own face in. He's so awful. And you see all of the things about him here. That sort of Jersey Shore bro, you know, screaming in each other's faces, chest bumping, slapping each other much too hard.
He's famous for, I didn't really know the wrestling connection necessarily, but he is famous for being absolutely thick as pig shit.
100%. There is, Mojo Rawley does knock everyone out quite recklessly. It's all, he fails to eliminate Killian Dane with a tackle, like he's supposed to bounce him out. That doesn't happen, so he has to run over and clothesline him, and that doesn't work, and he has to then just chuck him over. And it's all very sort of reckless. He is so fast and so impactful, Mojo Rawley. But what he is he finds it impossible to work out angles and sort of future outcomes. So when he hits someone, he's just like, I hit him, and he's like, they are on the floor, and him going, but Mojo want them go over top. You know, and he can't work out how to hit people to make that happen. There is a really odd bit where by the end, you see, they are Mojo wins and he turns round and you can see he's got this huge spot on it, at the top of his tit. And it's got a big square around it, like he's had one of those quite rough plasters over it, and they've had to take it off and it's left the mark around it. And Gronk comes in and they do all of this sort of like toxic masculinity stroke homoerotic screaming in each other's faces, and Gronk just sort of like starts doing slaps across his chest right on the spot on tit, going what like that, and Mojo going and I watched it and I was like, oh god, you're so awful,
you're
the
burst
two of you
cyst.
They should be a tag team called Toxic Masculinity. It'd be really, really good. Gronk just even the name. The name. I was trying to work out why it's so bad. And it's a combination of grom, yeah, or it's like gronda, anything. Just sort of go, it's undignified. And also the word honk. And honk is the word, it honks. And I was thinking, there's no way. Like, if you say honk, honk, there's no dignity in it. No. So if you go, like, for example, the phrase like, oh, here she is, honk, honk. You know, anything you say, you know.
Yeah, you can't say, I'm off the library, honk, honk. It doesn't work.
You just sound like a moron. I love you, honk, honk. All of it is just, it's so undercutting. And so gronk. He's just awful. Also, it sounds like penis.
Yeah. Does it?
Yeah.
Gronk?
Checking out my Gronk, dude.
Chunking on my Gronk. Totally chunked on my Gronk.
Absolutely
man.
Chunky Gronky. Oh god. He is so bad. He will have his own WrestleMania moment coming up where he hosts the closed set. And I mean,
Jesus Christ, it
was
man.
So painful. The very fact that they paid him so much money to be a WWE superstar, the very fact that he's got his own action figure in the WWE range.
Oh, no.
I mean, I hope that does dog shit business. I really, really do. And then we just have the final match of the pre-show, which is the Intercontinental Champion Dean Ambrose versus Baron Corbin. As the commentators say, the Intercontinental Championship, one of the most prestigious titles in WWE. And here it is on a pre-show, and they cut out Dean Ambrose, the champion's entrance, to show us a replay of Gronk. It could not be bad.
Got Gronk on.
They show the build-up to this between Dean Ambrose and Baron Corbin. It is so lukewarm. Neither of them looks into it. The whole thing is just really, really sort of... I'm going to get you. It's really weak. Ambrose is in a funny position where he's begun overacting and emoting. I think in an attempt to kind of go, is this what the WWE want?
Yeah.
If I look like I'm stark raving mad, is there a chance I'll be on the main card, you know, next year? Mm. The very fact that last year he was in a match with Brock Lesnar, which we talked about, obviously, and, you know, did not work out as Dean Ambrose wanted. Mm. But the fact he's gone to the pre-show, I mean, he must be just, he would be going to his empty apartment, you know, where there is nothing and he would just be sitting there for 3 days, just brooding. And they turn up basically wearing the same thing. They both have black boots, a black wife beater, and they're both sort of going a bit thin on top. it's just not a good look. And I started looking at Baron Corbin's tat. Mm. He had a big clock on his arm and things like that. I don't think he's into clocks. I don't think he's like massive. Right. I really like clocks and timepieces. But it's time, isn't it?
Right.
You know, well, time, he just likes the passing time, of time. I bet if you said, what's the thing? And he'd be like, it's about the passing of time. About how it just slips between your hands.
No, I just like Swiss accurate engineering.
People with tattoos, they really think they feel stronger about time than people who don't have tattoos, don't they? They're already like, oh, I understand sands, you know, sands of time, that's the hourglass and stuff. Yeah, we all understand fucking time. You know, but people with tattoos really, really do have a big thing about, I get time more than you do.
Yeah, I mean they put it on their arm, so you sort of go, well, you know, time's probably going.
Has anyone ever had a tattoo that says "I love swimming"? Everyone loves a swim.
Yeah, everyone loves a paddle, don't they?
I just think I'm more into swimming than
hot dogs.
You.
I like hot dogs.
Delicious hot dogs.
Oh, what a hot dog
with
now.
An arrow that says "insert here." That's the sort of crass thing you'd get on
my neck.
On like not Jackass, but one of the Jackass.
Yeah, one of their followers. Yeah. Well,
that one done by the Welsh guys. Dirty Sanchez.
Dirty boys.
Filth men.
Dirty hot dogs.
The grocers. Ambrose gurning away through this whole thing. I mean, the cameras are also doing a funny thing here where they're playing chicken with the crowd, where they will suddenly cut to a shot of people watching intently.
Mm.
And the second that person goes, what? They cut away.
Yeah.
Right? And they do this continually. And it's really funny, that chicken thing of going, oh, they're really enjoying it. No, just go. Right, off the next one. As soon as they get, at one point, they cut back to the ring. And just as they cut back, there's a man in the front taking off his top. And they're like, away, away. Gotta get away. Just preempting idiots the whole time. Oh, God. Keep missing it.
I was listening to a podcast where a bloke was like, it's called Game Wank. I think it's back. I've not really listened to it before. But he had a job where he had to film the opening, I think, of Tea of the Park. Scottish guys. Tea of the Park. The gate's open. You only get one shot because the gate's only open once, you know, at the start of the festival. The gates are open and a guy just gets his knob out. And they've been camped up for ages to film the opening of Tea in the Park.
Will you know a chance? Gonk my gonk!
Ruined it. Absolutely fucking ruined it.
I thought I was called D in the Park. Hey! Man, oh man. Look, the important thing is we're through the pre-show.
We're through the pre-show, so next time you hear us...
We are. I tell you what, we've managed to do 2 hours of pre-show in 48 minutes, Pete. So we are working on a 50-50 ratio.
Damn
here.
Right.
We are saving you valuable time.
Yeah, I mean, listen to us at 1.5 speed and you just lose even more time, to be honest.
I think that is the most disrespectful thing you could ever do.
You should slow us down, if anything.
Someone did mention to me the other day, they said, oh, it's quite funny because I normally always listen to you at 1.5 speed, but I've become a Patreon member. Right. And there's no way of making that 1.5
respect,
speed.
Respect, because they got respect for their...
respect,
their
exactly.
Craft, yeah.
Exactly. It's not, you're not a fabulous freeloader. You are an actual Wrestle Me Mark.
Fabulous freeloader. Oh, that's a new one.
Let me take full credit for that, because I read off Twitter where someone mentioned it to me as being a good name. I mean, it would be like, oh, have you seen the Mona Lisa? Yes, but what I did was I looked at it very briefly. Much too quickly. The person on Patreon was saying, I didn't really know you sounded like that, and I don't actually enjoy it. It sounds like it's a very different show to the one that I'm used to.
Yeah. Well, I would say at this point, oh, you got to rewind now, haven't you?
I've just slowed that down, and That is disgraceful. I, for one, am a fan of Diane Abbott. Pathetic.
Oh, lordy.
Look, thank you so much for joining us for our first look at WrestleMania 33.
Yeah.
We're going to be back next week with more of it. And there's a lot more to come.
A lot more to come.
I just wanted to say thank you very much to Patrick. And Patrick is one of our friends in Kobe. In Japan.
Oh, lovely.
And he very, very kindly bought me a load of New Japan tat and sent it over. I received it. It is beautiful. And I just wanted to say, Patrick, thank you very, very much. Also, a good tip there, if you do want to get a shout out on this show, is send me wrestling merchandise.
Did I give you those VHSs from someone?
Yes. And what? I've kept the little message that he put in there because I specifically want to say thank you and I couldn't find it this morning. So I'm going to be doing that at a future date. I know that we obviously record each weekly episode fresh because we don't like the idea of just doing batches. It's not a battery farm. But I have made the decision I will not thank him until we get to the show, after WrestleMania 33.
Yeah, correct.
I don't want to. You know,
and you won't be hearing on the Patreon either. You won't be hearing on the Patreon.
No. Certainly not the one covering Super Bowl 2. Respect is due. Happy New Year, everyone. And look, we're going to see you next week.
Wrestle me, Mark.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.